Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's get a little more information. Gerald McCoy is in Cleveland today, the free agent defensive tackle. Will the Browns sign him? Will they not? What would the Browns be getting into if that was the situation? Or what other teams is he looking at?
What does he have left?
That's true, too. Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're bringing Greg Allman, and he is from The Athletic in Tampa Bay. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being with us. Well, first of all, your thoughts on Gerald McCoy, and no matter what team ends up with him, what kind of a player are they getting at this stage in his career?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, you guys have seen there's a lot of interest from across the league in him. I think the Bucs moving on with him had more to do with his contract than his player. It's just one of those where they got a tight salary cap. He's due to make $13 million under his old contract and just wasn't playing at that level. Isn't the guy he was, let's say, 5 years ago? Wasn't a Pro Bowler this past season, but I think still has something left. I think can still play at that level. And I'll be interested to see where he ends up. I mean, he's a guy, that draws a lot of attention from opponents' offenses. Definitely is somebody they account for, a lot of double teams, a lot of extra attention. So that frees up other people. I think Cleveland, you know, obviously is a team that's on the rise and has enough on that defensive line where he's not going to have to be maybe the best guy as he was for so many of his years here in Tampa.
Well, that's the question I was going to ask. What is he? Is he a guy who wants the most money he can get? Is he a guy who wants to win? Is he a guy who wants to be the star? Who is this guy?
Yeah, it definitely is not a guy that is looking for the most money here. I mean, he's played 9 years in the NFL and hasn't played a single playoff game. So I think very high on that list, if not highest on that list, is going to be finding a team that he thinks is going to win this year, a team that can give him a taste of the playoffs, if not a real shot at the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the void. He has plenty of money. He's made like $120 million. So if anything, I think he might take a lesser offer to get himself in a situation, this late in the game, it's probably a one-year deal where you get to kind of reset yourself next spring in free agency. So this can be a year where he goes somewhere, doesn't have to play the biggest role. Just find a team where you can help and you can be a part of a winning team. That's something he's missed out on here.
You think he'll get $13 million this year from somebody else? Or is this
gonna no, be, no I mean, if he was going to get $13 million, the Bucs would have been happy to trade him for a seventh-round pick late in the game. You know, you get to that point where if you know you have to cut somebody for cap reasons, you're going to take whatever you can get. And clearly there was zero trade market. They had the same situation with DeSean Jackson, and were happy to take a future seventh and turn it into a sixth rounder to get him to the Eagles. So that's all it would have taken. So it'll look odd if somebody is willing to pay him $13 million on a brand new deal, given that they could have gotten him so easily under his old contract.
Yeah, Greg, how much does he have left in the tank?
Well, I think he still has a lot left. I mean, he played probably 80% of the snaps this past year, played a ton, probably more than he even needs to. He's not a big sack guy. He's never had double-digit sacks, but he's had like 9-5, 8-5. I think he's got 52 sacks in his career. So, you know, like I said, generates pressure, gets to the quarterback a lot, helps you against the run, helps you against the pass. You know, like I said, he wasn't a Pro Bowl player this last year, didn't really have a case to be, but had gone, I think, 6 years in a row before that. Good character guy, is going to be great in the community wherever he goes. Not going to hurt you in the locker room, anything like that.
And he seems motivated based on some of the videos we've seen.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right. Wherever he goes, I mean, you could tell. I think he was fairly motivated when he was here, but I think there's definitely that extra motivation of knowing that, you know, someone decided you weren't worth it. So wherever he goes, especially if he gets a team that's on the Bucs schedule this year, I think you'll see a very motivated Gerald McCoy.
Do you think it matters to him if he's in a rotation, or do you think he needs to be a starter? Is he one of those?
No, I don't think. I think he's at a level he probably can expect to be a starter. If there's a team that has, you know, if you're talking about the Rams, and he's not going to push Aaron Donald aside. But he's a three technique. I mean, he can line up in different roles. If he's in a 3-4, he's probably an end. If it's a rotation, I think if it were the right situation with the team he liked, the Bucs go through enough coaches where he's got former assistants and former coaches all over the league, unfortunately. So they're familiar faces all over Cleveland. Again, Todd Monken's going to sing his praises. They're trying to decide what to do if McCoy's worth it. I think it's kind of neat to see Cleveland has handled this differently than most teams. I mean, they kind of floated through the media their interest. I don't think they had any indication they were actually going to trade for him. But by putting themselves out there, they kind of associate themselves with McCoy. They're announcing his visit coming in as a free agent. So I think it kind of is nice to be wanted, if you will, as a guy that just got spurned by another team. I don't know if that's enough to have Cleveland get him or that be the reason that they get him, but I think it's smart of them.
Yeah, they also have Beckham singing his praises, too. So it'll be interesting. We had a caller here who said he may not enjoy the cold weather in November and December, and nobody does, but might that be a factor?
Yeah, he went to college in Oklahoma. It gets pretty cold there. Okay. So I can get that. And if you've spent the last 9 years in Tampa, you kind of get spoiled. I don't think that'd be a huge limiting factor for him. I mean, you're going to play a lot of games outside, being in Cleveland, being in that division late in the year. But no, I don't think that would be something that would hold him back.
You talked about Todd Monken for a second. Just your thoughts on him when he was in Tampa and what he brings to the Browns.
Great coach. Did great job here. Well-liked by the media just because he's a really candid, honest guy. I felt like his offense did well. He kind of got to take over play calling here in Tampa the last year and thought that went well. Obviously had won in the college level, did well as a coordinator at big schools, and then at Southern Miss as a head coach. So I like Todd, and it was neat to see. It's hard to be on a team that's 5-11 2 years in a row and be as coveted as he was kind of on the coaching circuit last year, getting looks for head coaching jobs. And then to jump in, I mean, I think it's a good situation for him there in Cleveland just because it's a team that's on the upswing. Even if he's not calling plays, even if he has an offensive-minded coach above him, I think if they continue their trajectory, he'll be a guy that, again, gets looks as a head coach a year or two from now for sure.
You mentioned it a couple of times that Cleveland's a team on the rise. Is that pretty much what you're hearing league-wide?
Well, I mean, I think if you saw him, you know, in the second half of last season, you saw that. You know, how quickly that takes hold. Are they a playoff team next year, or this year, I should say? Are they a division winner? I don't know about that. But I think anytime you've got a young quarterback, you start to see all of these draft picks they've had in the last few years coming together. Some real good hits there that have worked out for them. You know, we don't know what kind of coach you're going to have in Freddie Kitchens, but I think there's definitely the opportunity there. If you were, you know, I think if you look around the league at teams that are perceived as being on the upswing, they got to be pretty close to the top of the list.
Hey, just going back to Monken for a second, I mean, his bread and butter coming up through the roots was wide receiver, and now he's got, you know, some of the top wide receivers in the league, especially with Odell Beckham Jr. That impact and his background in wide receiver, can you marry that together? How will that translate here in Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's had some really talented, I mean, you go back to college, I think he had Justin Blackman in college, came up in the NFL as a receivers coach, was here first as a receivers coach, did some great things with Mike Evans when he was dealing with him. He's a coordinator most recently, but I think that's something he's done well. Really good, technically sound coach. I remember we did a piece a year or two ago just on the proper techniques for how to catch, and it was great, and that's very natural for him to step back and say, no, you got to hold your hands like this, and you have to do this. He can explain it to you in a very short amount of time, and I think that worked well. Comes from a coaching family, just a really smart guy, good play calling instincts. To see how he'll do with the personnel they'll have there in Cleveland, especially a talent like Odell Beckham, should be fun to see.
Well, you guys hired Bruce Arians there. He was the guy who claimed to want to come to Cleveland, had been in Cleveland before. Getting a chance in Tampa Bay, what's going on with him down there?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, there's an excitement here. You know, they've gone through the last four coaches without any kind of playoffs and only 2 or 3 year stints. So to bring a coach like Bruce Arians out of retirement at 66, the hope is that he can do here what he did in Arizona and take a team that, you know, was 5-11, had a limited postseason really history, and quickly turn them into a contender. I mean, he went 10-6 his first year in Arizona, won 10 or more games, I think, three times. They'd love that here. I mean, this is a team that hasn't won a playoff game since they won the Super Bowl in 2003. Hasn't been in the playoffs at all in 11 years. So they're hoping they can find the right guy to get them back to where they were a generation ago. But the last couple tries haven't been able to do that.
Greg Allman from The Athletic in Tampa joins us, talking a little bit about what's going on with Gerald McCoy, who's in Cleveland today. If you were the Browns, how would you sell him today on just staying here and not going to look at any of the other teams? What would you do if you were sitting
there? Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, he's got a lot of offers. Supposedly he's got teams willing to pay him Up to $11 million, like you said. I'm sure he's got postseason teams. You hear about the Colts and the Saints and teams like that. So Cleveland is a team he doesn't know as well, just because he's always been an NFC guy. But I would just sell him on the upside. Just let him, hey, man, this is a team that's on the rise. You haven't tasted the playoffs in 9 years. Cleveland's the same way. I mean, Cleveland as a city wants it bad. So he'll get that same hunger that he would have had in Tampa, but it's probably on a more talented roster that's closer to ending that drought. So that's what I would sell him on.
Greg, thank you very much. Tell your Rays to take it easy on the Indians this weekend, please. Can you give us a little love there?
I will, no problem. You guys take care.
All right, thank you, Greg. We'll make sure we read you in The Athletic as well. Thank you, Greg. And, of course, Greg was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.